Good afternoon, everyone. So the background to this talk is I worked on a cuticle supplement which was known as a biofilm when I first started. It was patented as a biofilm and then came to find out that biofilms in other parts of agriculture are bad things. So we've changed the name to cuticle supplement. The new patent is a cuticle supplement. It has been registered as a patent with Oregon State University. And the background to it was that the first product that I developed, the Parker product, was tested in California for water reductions on almonds and it didn't have an effect. And part of the reason for that is the cuticle, the composition of the fatty acids were 16-18 carbon chains. And when you look at drought tolerant type plants, they have more of the C8s through the C16s, C14. And because of that, it shows different types of fatty acids fractionated with coconut oil to produce the new one. So I have a sample of it. You can pass it around. You can open it. It's not toxic. It's food grade, 100% organic. It has been registered with organic certification. So what I'll do is I'll jump into the actual talk itself. I do have to first of all acknowledge my collaborators and co-workers, Vaughan Walton. He's been working on this because it's thicker than the original product. The Parker product was only 3 microns thick. It didn't prevent the moisture loss out of the plants. And equally so, Vaughan tested it for seeing if it could prevent spotter-winged Drosophila, and it didn't have an effect on that. So this new one is actually 90 microns thick when you apply it in the field, and it does reduce overposition in blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, the cherries, blueberries, and by up to 93% the overposition is presented. So we're working with them in his lab, the entomologist there, and then James Harbison's been doing the phenolic and flavonoid analyses for us at Washington State University's Chateau Saint Michel in the Tri-Cities. So what is HydroShield? It is a unique blend of phospholipids and fatty acids and microcrystalline cellulose, and I selected it because it has elastic properties. The Parker product, the original one, has also got elastic properties, and it stretches with fruit growth. You're smelling it, you can smell the ethanol. Part of the reason the Parker product, I used water as the solvent in it, and the water solvent was 75% of the product. Part of the reason why I wanted this to have a higher concentration was because I wanted to get more product out in the field. So I used ethanol as a solvent, so literally this, and the ethanol afterwards evaporates off and you're left with literally pure product. So we're looking at about a 95% pure product when at the end of the day. So you can see on the right-hand side the beading up that happens if you don't include the surfactants. So there's a whole bunch of natural surfactants and organic surfactants in here, and to include multiple ones to get this product to actually form a film, which you can see on the left-hand side. And this is simply dipping a spatula into the watered down solution, because you mix it in water at the end. It's on the cherries we've been doing 0.5%. On the grapes we've actually got away with 0.5% applied 4 times, and it was applied once we'd reached 18 inches of growth on the shoot length. It was the first application, then every 2 weeks thereafter was an application on the actual cabernet. So I didn't get around to getting a picture of the grapes. I'm still going to do that, so I apologize for showing you cherries in a grape talk. But nonetheless, you can see the effect of the product. What happens is you spray it, you mix in water in the mist blower, and you put it out to the mist blower, and the water then expresses, and it leaves behind the film, and that film is elastic. So what we did was we switched out the drippers. The standard drippers in Washington is 1 gallon per hour. Some context to the growing conditions in the Walla Walla Valley. Mercy used to be there. We have a very low rainfall on the Seven Hills side of the valley with around 10 inches of rain. So without supplemental irrigation, we won't grow wine grapes. So it's also one of the manipulated tools we have, is because we can manipulate the low water, we can produce superlative grapes. So the drippers put out about 1 gallon. Yeah, it is about 1 gallon per hour because we've been measuring them, and it's not always 1 gallon per hour. But they put out 1 gallon per hour. We switched them out with 0.75 and 0.5 gallons per hour in a completely randomized block design. And we started this work in 2017. And it was done on clonal Cabernet Sauvignon, 8-year-old vines at the time. So we're looking at 10-year-old vines right now. And what we found was that the different treatments, and in the first instance when I set this up, I had treatments of the 0.75 gallons and the 0.5 gallons, and then I had an untreated check with the 1 gallon per hour. So, and I know what's going through your mind, and I'll get to address that soon. So the bottom line was that we found that the soil moisture in the two reductions in conjunction with the HydroShield product were comparable across the growing season. So despite the fact that we had a 50% reduction in water and a 25% reduction in water applied through the irrigation, so the baseline was the rainfall, which is winter rainfall, so that the vines grow during the spring and the summer. They do apply water later in the season because they're trying to dry the soil profiles out. They're trying to utilize the water that's in the soil profile before they start applying water. And the bottom line was that the water content in the soils, what we did start to see at the end of the first season after boration was that the 400 millimeters, and these are at depths of 10, 20, 30, and 40 centimeters down using an H2A water probe to test the water in the different soils, what we found was that the 40 centimeters or the 400 millimeter depth started to dry out. And initially I was a little bit concerned about that because what if this doesn't recharge during the winter? Going into 18, the soils had totally recharged, the profile was back again, and we didn't see any impact on that. So what you can see in the 17 results was that the actual, the blue line is the check at 1 gallon per hour. What we found is that 0.75 gallons per hour, a 25% reduction, actually had greater total water content across that profile from 0 down to 40 centimeters. The 0.5 gallon, the 50% reduction, was actually lower. So I think there's definitely we've hit a sweet spot. We've found where the water is being used up excessively at the 50% reduction. I was expecting it to be too much. And then again, what we can see is this 400 centimeter or 40 centimeter, the 400 millimeter depth, you're starting to see a dry out, and that happened across the season. The water status across the season as well, what you can see, and this is the 17, you can see that it's tracking quite nicely across those two, as you would expect with the lower reduction in the water. The one thing that we did pick up, which was not expected, was that the check, the variation of the check, was actually, the timing of that was 7 days earlier with the 25% reduction. But interestingly enough, for the 50% reduction, variation was retarded. So there was something, we were seeing an increase in fruit maturity as a result of the 25% reduction, but retardation of that with the 50% reduction. I was interested to see if this would occur again. So took the product up to James because I'm in the extension faculty based in a remote office with a half-day assistant and more recently a laboratory that the county commission has built me following on from the patents that we have got. But nonetheless, Jim Hobbitson has been fantastic. He analyzed all the things. And the great thing about it was that normally scientists are unhappy when they don't see statistical differences, but I was ecstatic because we saw no statistical differences across the treatments. Berry size, titratable acidity, bricks, none of them were any differences in any of them. So in 18, the results have been repeated across the treatments. Same story happened. The 400 millimeters started to dry out. The interesting thing was that the same thing happened with erosion, an increase after 25% reduction, a reduction with 50% reduction. The yield of the vines was comparable. Titratable acidity was the one thing that was lower in the 50% reduction. So this theme of perhaps too much reduction with a 50% reduction is starting to come through. 2019, what I do have to date is another thing that's going through most people's minds has been something that was criticized for was the fact that we didn't have a contrast. We had a check, but we didn't have a contrast. So this year I've increased the size of the trial in conjunction with the Seven Hills Estate, and we have 50% with and without, 75% with and without, and 100% with and without. And what we're seeing so far is that they're tracking each other perfectly. There's no differences between them across the different treatments. So with that in mind, I'm quite happy with recommending a 25% reduction in water usage with this product. 50%, we're starting to see some drying out in the profile. There have been no negative impacts, and at this point in time, Jim hasn't had a chance to analyze the phenolic and flavonoid panels because his LC is broken, so he's working on getting that fixed. And then I'd also like to thank all the people that funded this project, ODA, Virtue Lab, and the Agricultural Research Council, and also the Specialty Crop Block Grant from the Oregon Department of Ag. I don't know if there's time for questions.
Yeah, we have time for a few questions.
No, because it's food grade, I've included only food grade products, and it also has organic registration. It basically is, and for organic registration, because one of the ingredients was an organic silicone surfactant, it had to be used in conjunction with a pesticide. So when people are putting it on, especially for the blueberries, for the organic blueberries that are using it, we're recommending they apply it with Pyganic, because it's also organic. And it gets around the label requirement of being applied as a surfactant. You technically can't apply this on its own for organic production. You have to apply it with a pesticide. When you're doing conventional, you don't have to. You can just put it on straight.
So the transpiration rates are different, and how much?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I plan to have a postdoc coming next year from Turkey who's going to be looking at all that for me. I don't have an answer to that, and when we did measure transpiration in the plants that was closer to harvest, we didn't see a difference between them. So that's a great question. I think that's definitely something I want to follow up with the day before application, the day of application, and then subsequent days afterwards. So yeah, I'll have an answer to that in the future.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.